Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
1 week from today is the NFL trade deadline. So the New York Jets are done in terms of playing games. Not that a win or loss would have mattered on Sunday as they sit at 1-7. So we know where the Jets are, and any decision that'll be made concerning trading guys away or acquiring guys, but more likely trading guys away, nothing on the field would change that, which is good. Also, no injuries, nothing like that.
Right.
The Giants obviously play on Sunday at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Could that possibly impact what they do before next Tuesday? We shall see. But Aaron Glenn was meeting the media yesterday and was asked a specific question about the trade deadline. And it's interesting because before I play it, I do want to set you up with a few things. You have been very, I don't even say critical, you've given Aaron Glenn advice.
Yeah.
And that advice is levity.
Yes.
Or don't take perceived criticisms, because I'm not even calling them real criticisms. The perceived criticisms of the media as slights on your job as a head coach.
Right.
And so, and then as all of a sudden you're getting testy with them and it just doesn't come over well. So here is a clip. I'm going to play the question too. It's Brian Costello. And that's important here. Brian Costello asks him, "Hey, what are you planning on doing at the trade deadline?" Take a listen to Aaron Glenn's answer to that question from the great Brian Costello.
What will the organizational approach be to the trading deadline?
I would say this. No, I can't say that because that's what Parcells told me. But listen, everybody listens. That doesn't mean that you act on anything. You know, when someone calls, you listen. But action speaks louder than words, you know, so I would just put it like that. Because if someone wants to trade for you, you know, I'm trading you. Well, trust me.
We all know that.
No, I got to keep you around. I got to keep you around too, man.
So there's a lot here.
That was awesome. Hey, somebody calls for you, Brian. You're out. Sorry.
The first thing he did was listen to that pause on his answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to know the question was coming because the Jets are on a bye. This is probably Aaron's final time speaking to the media before at least the weekend and maybe even the trade deadline. So he pauses. He's thinking about it. And then he even says, "I'm not going to say that.
Right.
Parcells told me that.
Right."
And then he gives an answer, which I think is such a brutally honest answer. Like, he actually gave you an answer. He didn't dayball this.
Yeah.
He said, "We'll listen on anything."
Yeah. I think but it also tells you that they're not trying to trade anybody. They're not actively, "Hey, do you want Breece Hall? Hey, do you want whoever?" They're not trying to trade anybody, but people are calling them because they know the situation that they're in. So,
and they are saying, "Well, listen,
of course
we're not going to just hang up the phone."
Of course you're going to listen. It doesn't matter. Somebody could be trying to trade for whoever. You're going to listen because you don't know if they're going to be absurd with their give back to you.
And what I love about this is actually a lot to love about this answer. And this is not because the Jets finally won a game on Sunday. I'm being honest. He gave Tiki what he wanted. That's pure levity right there. The whole, "I'll trade you, cuss." Mm-hmm. "Nah, I got to keep you around." So right away, you're seeing Aaron Glenn is lowering the temperature in the room a little bit.
100%.
With Brian Costello specifically, by even joking, "Yeah, we trade you." But he also gave an honest answer that I happen to agree with as a Jet fan. I've said this to you for the last week, where I will listen on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Jets are in no position to say, "Oh, no, we're not doing this." Right. Dude, they're 1-7.
Right, and you don't mention anybody or talk about specific players or teams because then you take every bit of leverage away from yourself.
Right.
So you almost can't answer the question specifically. You have to kind of do what he just did.
Yeah, and because, look, my specific answer as a fan, I mean, I'm about to tell you specifics. Yeah. Aaron Glenn clearly can't do this. Number one, I am not giving Breece Hall away. Because, A, the Jets could use him next year with a young quarterback.
Right.
B, keeping him next year, whether it's on a transition tag or a franchise tag or even working out.
I think the transition tag might get him gotten, though.
What do you mean? Oh, so where they'd lose him?
Yeah, because somebody would give that up.
You're probably right. So, franchise tag or even agreeing to a friendly contract. Like, the Jets are going to have a ton of cap space. It's not like they've got to pinch their pennies, as the saying goes. So, if a team is offering me a fourth-round pick for Breece Hall, which is likely the compensation, right? Why am I making that trade?
No.
Why would I do that?
Right. So he's worth more than that.
Of course. Now, you're telling me the Kansas City Chiefs call me up and they're like, screw it, we're going for it. Here's a first-round pick. Am I thinking about that? Of course. First-round pick for a run. Okay. That's not happening, though. Am I listening on Garrett Wilson? Probably not. You'd have to blow me away, if I'm just going to be frank. Like, you're going to have to give me a Godfather-like offer. You're clearly not making that offer, so we could all move on. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Sauce Gardner. I know he loves to get crapped on by Jet fans. He's a damn good football player. I don't want to give him up. So I'm listening, but again, nothing's clicking. The one guy where I do think things could match up in terms of me asking for a lot and you, not you as in Tiki Barber,
meaning
and the Giants.
Whoever's calling you.
Anybody out there may kind of align would be Quinnen Williams. Mm. Because I like Quinnen Williams. I'm not down on him the way Joe is, but if you call me up and you're offering a first-round pick, which I think could be made for a guy like him, I am thinking about that. And I'll tell you why I'm thinking about it, Teak.
And this is seven, you're seven?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So it's still, I mean, he's not young, but he's still not ancient. It's not like he's 32.
And I don't think the contract is that bad.
Right, so it's movable is the best way to put it. What about a guy like Jermaine Johnson? And I only say that because they have not signed him. He's one of the three first rounders from that 2022 class. And the other two, Garrett and Sauce, got contracts. Jermaine didn't. And Will McDonald is a good player. He's not Jermaine Johnson, but he's a good player. If you get a one or something back or close to it, maybe you can draft the next guy that's coming out.
Yeah, but that. But
so you're back on a rookie, like a rookie scale for a young, really good pass rusher. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
He's the only other interesting one to me. Everybody else, I don't see that there's a market.
Quincy Williams?
I mean,
the matchup of what they offer me isn't going to line up with what's worth taking back.
Yeah.
That's going to be the problem with a lot of these guys. I think Jermaine Johnson and Quinnen Williams are two of the players where you could get a lot back on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like Jermaine Johnson on this team long term. I would love to work out a long term contract.
I agree.
Because who else
is rushing the passer?
No, absolutely. Like,
who is waiting in the wings behind Jermaine Johnson?
And Jermaine Johnson, I think it's still untapped. He missed a lot of time due to injury. Yeah, there is a little concern. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the field? It's fair. I would need to be blown away on Jermaine Johnson, but I'd listen on Quinnen Williams. He's 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a relatively friendly contract. Right. He's a starish player in this league. Like, I'd listen, because the other reason why getting a value pick back for him would be intriguing is, what if the Jets do win a few games?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is on the table. Look, they're favored their next game. They're going to be favored to beat the Cleveland Browns. So right off the top, that's a game they could win.
Unless they start Shedeur Sanders.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be fun.
I mean, it'd be his first game, so you probably would still be favored.
Yeah, well.
But you're definitely favored with Dylan Gabriel in their center.
No doubt. So let's say they win a few more games, and they're not picking one, two, or even three. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible they fall out of the top three. It would be nice to have another weapon in the chamber to have to trade up. Like, one thing I learned from your guys' experience with the Giants, obviously it was a little different because you didn't trade up in terms of going from, like, 5-1 or 5-2, but you used assets to trade up into the first round again to get the quarterback that you desire.
Right, a third-round pick, an extra third-round pick, not our third-round pick. I forgot what we got that one for.
Yeah, I don't know, but we still used
this year's third. Waller?
No, because we didn't get we didn't trade anything.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
For Waller.
Not a comp?
Kadarius Toney's pick was used to get Darren Waller.
Oh, right. That's right.
If that's what you're thinking
that's
about.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
But we did use our own third this year.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
But that's,
but we had another third
right.
pick.
But that's why, like, having extra assets can help you. Because I don't know where the Jets are going to draft their quarterback. We all have assumed over the last few weeks it's going to be number one overall. They may win a few games. Mm-hmm. They've already got one in the hoister. And I'm not against them winning games. I think winning is important for the development of this franchise. But I also understand you may want to take a quarterback. I mean, you're going to take a quarterback. So would it behoove you to have extra assets in the chamber, if that's even phrased correctly?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, because there's going to be so many crapshoots with quarterback this year. And we have no idea how this quarterback class is going to pan out, who's even going to come out, et cetera. And there's going to be a lot of them. But I don't think there is a clear cut, this guy's definitely going to be the number one overall pick.
That's what I think makes the whole idea of go win some games.
Yes.
Like, it's not this daunting thing.
It's not like you're racing to number one, trying to get to number one. Sports Talk on WFN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. Get started today.
Let's go through all your calls. We got a lot of different topics on the fire today. We've talked about the World Series and sleeping through it, intentionally walking Shohei Ohtani, the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets. It's all out there. 888-808-1019. Artie is in Brooklyn. Yes. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Artie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call. So who's the real Justin Fields? Is the one that we saw at the Bengals, or is it the one that we saw against Denver? And then, I don't know how it's possible that we're doing so good on the cap, because we have to pay Rodgers next year. We got to pay Fields. We're still guaranteed. So that's $70 million. I don't know where you got the numbers, but if the Giants are getting rid of Barkley, there's no way that we could sign Hall. He's going to want that kind of money. We have to trade him. We have to get a pick. Thanks for taking a call. I love you guys.
Well, a couple of things there. Number one, the New York Jets, according to Spotrac, are scheduled to have the sixth most cap space going into next offseason. It's unofficial. Obviously, things can change. So I get it. They're still paying off the Rodgers deal, the Fields deal. I get that. They are in a very good cap space situation. Yeah. They are not in a roster crunch spot right now. Certain teams are. Kansas City Chiefs are. Minnesota Vikings are. The Saints are. How the hell did that? How did that happen?
That's odd.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the teams and their projected situation. So,
who was their quarterback? No, they didn't lose a quarterback that they were paying a lot, did they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's weird. No, you know what? This is probably still them catching up from the Drew Brees year.
Maybe. So, cap-wise, you can explain why you don't think they should be in a good spot. They are in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's number one wrong. What is Justin Fields? You know what I think Justin Fields is? This roller coaster. Where some weeks you're enamored and you say, whoa, this could work. And then some weeks you're like, oh my God, I need to bench him. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. This is the Justin Fields experience. So if you ask me right now, halfway through the Jets season, to define what he is, that'd be my answer. He's this roller coaster.
Yeah, he's still got at least four games he's got to prove that he can be the guy. Otherwise, quarterback in the first round is obvious.
Mm.
And look, I don't know what that's going to look like. And part of it's not his fault, as we talked about yesterday. Some of it is the play calling, because he looked really good on Sunday. And if he can look like that for the majority of the rest of the season, he's 24 years old. And you've already got him in the system and developing him. The coaching staff's not going anywhere. It might be worth taking the risk on him and saving drafting a quarterback and using that for whatever else you need.
That's going to take a lot for me to get there.
I agree, but... If he plays like he did
last week for the rest of the season, say the next 7-8 games,
yeah,
he looks amazing.
Yeah.
There's no duds. There's no what the hell is going on. There's no owner saying he can't even complete a pass. How can you not give him a shot?
Well,
by
that,
the way, you're already paying him. You know what I mean?
That extreme example you just gave, and I think that would be in conjunction with winning a bunch of games.
Yes.
Yes, that could change my view.
Right.
But that's a big sample
size.
Already, you're saying half the season.
You're already paying him.
Yeah, I got you. JT is in Jersey City. What's going on today, JT?
Hey, how we doing, Evan Tiki? Thanks for taking the call. I heard you guys talk before about Andrew Friedman. Obviously, done a really good job. But it got me thinking to the comparison with a guy like Andrew Friedman and a guy like David Stearns, right?
Right.
And there's some similarities there, right?
Came from a small market team and then got the checkbook, right?
Right. So Friedman, right, with the Rays, does a great job, right? Has them successful working with a small budget. Then he gets the job with the Dodgers, and he changes, and he learns to work with money, right?
Yep.
Stearns, same exact thing, right? He's with Milwaukee, right? Does a pretty good job. Comes here, and he's still shopping at Filene's basement and garage sales. I don't understand if he's going to change. Now, hopefully he's watching Friedman and he's catching on, because the last time I checked, I don't think the Dodgers have a lot of like homegrown people, right? I mean, they're all free agent signings, right?
They did under Andrew Friedman. They don't now.
Yeah.
Andrew Friedman took over the Dodgers a decade ago, so he's run this team for a long time. And there was a time in which the Dodgers were developing talent and then using those prospects to trade for Trey Turner or trade for Mookie Betts or trade for Max Scherzer and make a bunch of big moves. Right now, their currently constructed roster, yes, Will Smith is homegrown. I mean, there ain't much other than that.
He almost became the hero.
Almost. Oh, I thought he was. So they have grown their own talent. This current roster is mostly a bought team. But here's the unfair criticism of David Stearns that our last caller just laid out. He shops at Filene's basement. Here is the critique of David Stearns, if we want to be more accurate. So far, other than Yamamoto, who he offered $300 million to, he has not shown an inclination to offer big money and big years to starting pitchers. Now, does he change that if they trade for Tarek Skubal or next offseason when Skubal's available? Does he change that if this offseason for a guy like Framber Valdez? That's the question. But the idea that he's cheap and he's come over here and he's like, oh, Steve, let's use coupons. We don't need to buy. That's not true.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to get burned by a Tommy John. He doesn't want Tommy John to ruin whatever signing he decides to throw behind or get behind with one of these arms. Because we see it all the time.
Well, Corbin Burns, who 100%. I'll raise my hand. That was the veteran last offseason I wanted David Stearns to go by. Mm-hmm. If he did, it would have been a disaster. That guy needed Tommy John surgery a few months in. So I just don't think, I know it makes for funny things to say about him, like, he's cheap. He's bringing over the Brewers. That's not what it is. Right now he has a philosophy, which I don't even fully agree with, so I'm not even defending his opinions. It's just that the idea he's cheap isn't true. He has shown an inclination?
Yes.
A declination of giving big money long-term contracts to starting pitchers.
Disinclination.
But remember this. He offered it to Yamamoto.
Yes, he did.
And Yamamoto said no.
And that would have been the right one. Of course he said no, because he's going to the Dodgers the whole time.
You're probably right. He's going the entire time. Mm-hmm. He just used us.
Yeah, not even used you, because I don't think he needed to use anybody. He was like, let me just go check out New York. Let me see if I like it.
And he got that offer and probably said to L.A., can you beat this by a little bit?
He said, sure.
And he's not
a problem.
He's looking like a legend right now.
Of course he is.
He's had two complete games in a row. He volunteers to pitch on one day rest out of the bullpen. And he's still only like 26 years old. Mm-hmm. He's a badass.
That's why he can do it, though.
Because he's young?
Because he's 26.
Yeah. So he'll probably need Tommy John in 2 or 3 years. Let's go to Kevin in Oakland, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Evan. How are you?
Good.
Two things. I just want to wish my buddy Rich a happy 50th birthday again. I had a nice steak dinner with him and his in-laws and friends this Saturday night.
Happy birthday, Rich. You're an old man now.
Oh, he is. He is. And his wife should be nicer to her brother, Bobby. She stabbed him with a pencil when they were younger.
Wow, with a pencil? My God.
Yeah. He had to go to the hospital and everything.
Why are you sticking up for Bobby?
Well, because, guys have to stick together. But anyway, Evan, you said before, did you take, high school math at all? Because you were, Freddie Freeman signed for 6 years, 162 or 167, whatever the number was.
Yes, yes.
And then you go, What you go like? What's that? $22 million a year?
Yeah.
Like,
what is it?
How many quarters are in a dollar?
There are four quarters in a dollar.
So that's 25 cents. So that's $100 million, and then 50 more would be 150.
You know who you should be mad at, Kevin? Not me.
I should be mad at Tiki.
Yes!
I'm pissed off at Tiki because he's usually the smart one and the voice of reason.
Kevin, I wasn't even paying attention.
I didn't whip my calculator out. Let me do it. So
what was it 6160?
So it's about $27 million a year.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did some bad math.
I didn't even think about it.
You know what's crazy? He asked me if I took math. Math was one of my strong suits. Mm. Believe it or not, in high school. Now, high school is a long time ago.
I loved math.
I didn't love it.
It was just easy.
Yeah.
You could always find an answer in math. It's not like you had to memorize something.
You're right.
If you knew the tools, you could always find an answer.
But it wasn't interesting. That was the problem I always had.
Yeah, you weren't getting to anything other than an answer.
Exactly. And like I ended up learning math really quickly because of baseball, because I wanted to create batting averages and ERAs. And so the way to do it is math. It's simple as that.
It's just problem solving.
That's it.
It prepares you for life.
It does prepare you for life. It is important. I was good at it. I studied it. But I found it boring.
But you like to be interested instead.
Social studies was my jam.
Of course.
U.S. history was my jam. Science? Oh, my God.
So was it high school that made you a president nerd?
Was it high school? It was Bill Clinton and the sex. Because Whitewater, the Monica Lewinsky scandal had me interested. No, not in the sex part, but in the impeachment part. And so I started to learn about impeachments and Richard Nixon.
What's an impeachment?
Yeah, that's how it started. So I studied that.
You're such a lawyer.
That's not what got me into it?
I believe that you got down to the road of, now he gets impeached. But don't act like the impeachment drew you in. You wanted to know what was going on in that Oval Office. You were a young man, very intrigued.
Believe it or not, I wasn't. I thought that Monica was treated like garbage and still is to this day. And is one of the most misunderstood people in American history. So
misunderstood?
Oh, completely. Come on, if this was... You want me to go on a tangent here?
No,
if this is 2025, she was an intern in the White House and basically, whatever. I'm not getting into it. I feel horrible for her. I'll just leave it at that.
You could feel horrible for her, but
I feel horrible for her.
Still admit that initial story is what you got into it.
No, it was the impeachment.
Mm. Okay.
I'm different, Sean.
Well,
where do we know?
Clearly.
Like, I understood there was some scandalous stuff going on and, cigars and all that kind. That was not what I was in. I was interested in, how are they going to impeach this guy? Can they impeach him? Should he be impeached? Should he be removed from office because he was impeached? That got me into it. And obviously, on a more serious note, 9/11 and how we should respond. Mm-hmm. And just, it got interested in government. Then I started reading about presidents and made me realize, who the good ones and who the bad ones were. I got some strong opinions on that. I mean, my guy James Garfield would have been awesome in any era. And FDR is overrated. Anyhow, I'm not going to get into that because that offends a lot of old people. Your sports IQ trivia is presented by your Tri-State. Like, I told my grandparents that.
Oh, geez.
They would disown me. That FDR was overrated? Oh, come on. I'll do a podcast on that one.
You should.
I should. I got lots of reasons. Your sports IQ trivia is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. All right, here we go. Who wrote the trivia question before I read it? Sean?
I did.
You like this one?
Yeah. You don't?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay. This is real time.
Yeah. The last time a New York team won an extra inning World Series game, who drove in the winning run? World Series extra inning game that they won. I have a stomachache. Because I'm trying to think. I can't because we need a winner. I'm going to think offline. Right now, we'll take caller number 6 at 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 to answer your Sports IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including the first ever all-electric Escalade IQ. Because if I think about this out loud, Teak, am I allowed to think about this out loud?
Probably not.
I'm going to do it anyway. There was none in 24. So that one gets crossed out. That they won, right? That they won. There was none in 15 that they won.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're in 09. I don't remember them winning one in 09.
Hey, all right, we're going to turn your mic off because legally we can't keep doing this.
Yeah. Why don't you think about Monica Lewinsky and the cigar before we're going to win it?
Right.
It was such a good trivia question. I'm going through it in my head. Right, here's what we'll do. We're going to be fair to the audience. When we come back, we will have a winner, and we will announce what the answer is while I proceed to think about it. Plus, we'll get back to your calls. And what about the giant end of things at the NFL trade deadline? So I'm not making a big deal of this. I'm just going to give you the information, and you tell me if it is a big deal or not. Maybe it's not. So everyone can calm down, take a deep breath. If you want to make a big deal out of it at home or in your car, you have every right to. Malik Nabers is having his ACL surgery today. Mm-hmm. Why the hell did it take so long?
Because they prehab it. So they make sure that you build your muscle strength and make sure everything surrounding the surgery area is strong and capable of handling the rehab that you're going to have to do as soon as the surgery is over.
Gotcha. So it's normal.
It's called prehab.
So it's medical advice.
100%.
This
usually is the case. This isn't like Cam Scataboo's ankle where there is potential of complications, so you have to do the surgery immediately, or an Achilles tear, or it's just kind of the same thing.
The second thing is there is a video from Ciara's Instagram that she had a party the other day, and Russell Wilson was there, obviously. He's her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston was there.
Yep.
Brian Burns was there. Malik Nabers was there, and they were dancing. What'd you think of Malik Nabers dancing before his ACL surgery?
I mean, he can't do any more damage on it, so what's the...
I'm just asking.
I mean, there are some people who, not athletes, but regular non-athlete humans who have ACL injuries, and they don't ever get surgery.
Because they don't need to. They're not a professional athlete.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they can go dance and do the shimmy or hold the wall up or whatever the heck you do at a dance.
You know why I was concerned? So why? I saw the video.
Was he really dancing?
No, he was grooving.
He was just kind of like...
Shaking his hips.
Shaking a little bit.
Yeah. That's
fine.
He was doing all right.
Yeah, it's no lateral movement.
So I saw the video. Jameis Winston looks like a dude everybody wants to hang out with. That's like the first thing I thought. So I'm watching the video and I'm like, hey, Sean, come over here. Sean's like, what's up? I was like, look at you guys. And I show him the video, and when Neighbor showed up, I could tell he was a little annoyed.
Why are you annoyed, Sean?
He didn't like it.
Tiki, I was pre-annoyed.
Why?
Because now you've...
Pre-annoyed.
Pre-annoyed. You've explained in a sensible thing why it didn't make a difference. I'm thinking in terms of, can you further damage the knee? Anything?
No, you can't.
So you can't. And also, now we know, not only is he scheduled to, he has had now successful ACL surgery, so no harm, no foul. I'm over it.
So, but you were mad in the moment.
Not mad. Mad's the wrong word. My first actual point was, hey, good to see the locker room sticking together at 2-6 having a good time. I did say that to you. My second thought was, I mean, do we need to be breaking it down on the knee here? Your knee's torn.
Where's Jackson Dart? How come he wasn't
there? How do you know he wasn't there?
He wasn't on the video.
Okay. Well, there was only four guys in the video. Maybe Jackson Dart was cracking the playbook.
Mm.
Maybe he was, you know, getting after it in the meeting room.
So you have just framed it that no matter what Jackson Dart did or didn't do, it's all good. Like, if he was there, great. He's part of the team.
Either way, it's great.
Right.
Either way, it's great.
Right.
Either way, it's great.
All right.
You don't have to hang to be one of the dudes.
And you know what happened? A funny thing happened along the way. Jackson Dart became more famous than Ciara. So now he doesn't need to go to a birthday party. You know what I mean?
Has it gotten that far yet? You think he's eclipsed her yet?
I mean, in New York, maybe.
Yeah. If you send both of them out dressed regular in Times Square right now, who's getting recognized more, Jackson Dart or Ciara?
I still think Ciara would. She's world famous.
Yes.
And New York famous.
And I'd say Ciara, too.
Yeah. I still think it's Ciara. Mm. You're thinking about it, though.
I don't know, man.
Here's the real question about Jackson Dart for you. We obviously had a very long-form debate around here about the King of New York. It started multiple years ago when we got reports that Eric Adams was removing Aaron Judge as King and placing Jalen Brunson above him. And then it became like a talking point around here where for over a year and a half we were arguing about it. And then we settled it right before the summer where we had a WFAN staff vote where it was confirmed that Aaron Judge is still the King of New York.
By those that can vote.
By those that can vote here at this radio program and this radio station. Now that the fall has arrived and you've got new candidates emerging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just Jackson Dart. You've got other candidates emerging.
Who?
Come on.
Jackson Dart. Who else?
You know who else.
Jackson Dart is not even close to being the king, but...
A teenager on Long Island living in the Matt Martin household?
I can't even remember his name.
Come on!
It's Matt Schaefer, and he can't be king if Sidney Esiason is changing his undies for him.
I'm saying he's on his way to becoming king, as is Jackson Dart.
What about Jack Hughes?
What about him?
I mean, he can't be king.
I never said he can't.
He could be. Listen, Jackson Dart has won like his district council.
Careful.
He's coming, but he's not there yet.
So who is currently the King of New York?
I still think it's Aaron Judge.
Okay.
By the way, and with, I will bend the knee at this. Jalen Brunson actually gets the Knicks to the finals this year. I think right. It's fair to put him back up in kingship.
The finals. He's either got to win the MVP to reignite the conversation.
He's not going to win the MVP, and it's nothing against him. He's just not going
to
win the MVP.
So then he's got to get the Knicks to the finals.
Correct.
There is nothing, and it's not his fault, that Jalen Brunson can do in the regular season this year to take it back from Aaron Judge. It is all about what becomes in the postseason.
If he goes for 50, like six games in a row,
okay.
Maybe.
All right.
So, but they don't do ISO ball anymore, so at least not as much. I doubt you're going to see that. But
you are declaring in a firm voice that all the Knicks have to do is get to the NBA Finals.
He's got to be like Jalen Brunson.
He would be. They're getting to the finals if he's not the lead guy.
If it's very clear that Jalen Brunson is the star of these NBA playoffs and the Knicks have just, oh my God, they're
going finals. Time out. I do need to be fair about something. It's not like Aaron Judge was carrying the Yankees to the World
Series. Yeah, but he's going to win the MVP.
No, but he was carried by two other guys. Giancarlo
Alonso. Aaron Judge did his damnedest this October to try.
I'm not talking about that.
Talking about before he was elected.
Yes! He got to the World Series, which is something that he has over Jalen Brunson, no question. Jalen hasn't been to a finals. Tiki's the one who threw in, hey, Jalen's got to lead him. It's not like Aaron Judge led him to the World Series last year.
But Aaron Judge is he's the king.
Okay.
But best player in a sport or second best player.
Yes.
Fair enough. So, but just to be fair, because I just want to know for the record, we could all move on with our lives. If the Knicks get to the NBA Finals, we all will universally declare Jalen Brunson as the king of New York.
As long as he's Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a couple caveats here, but...
What caveat? No. What's the caveat?
What if Karl Anthony Towns is the leading scorer?
He's not going to be. Jalen Brunson will be the clear king dog of the Knicks if they're in the NBA Finals. Don't play these games. If they're in the NBA Finals, he is the king of New York.
He's just giving himself room so that if they get to the finals and Jalen Brunson is average... that you're not crowning him king.
The only thing I'll give you is if he's hurt and not a part of the team that gets to the NBA, fine.
I don't want to even speak these other caveats, but, you know.
I mean, guys, the East is bad enough. I mean, it's possible.
You know,
Jalen's out and they still get there.
They go play
except
one
for
the
76ers all of a sudden, the best team in the East.
But again, any of these teams get there and it's a war of attrition and they're sweeping everybody because everybody's out injured, then it's a little different getting to the finals. You know what I mean? Like, you got to battle through and let's see you be the
If the Knicks are in the NBA Finals, Jalen Brunson is king of New York.
Sure, and he could easily lose it by October. I think that's fair.
Okay, thank you. Can you save that, Tommy? That's for you, too, to hold on to.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good to have that. Let's go to Matt in the Bronx. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Evan and Tiki, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Sean and Tommy, how you guys doing as well, man? How you guys doing? Listen, I think I speak for every Giant fan this past Sunday. I didn't get to hear you guys' reaction yesterday. I couldn't tune in. But for everyone who's listening, if you didn't tune in like me, you can rewind into Odyssey app. Sunday I was absolutely devastated. I'm a 6'3", 400-pound man, and if I tell you I didn't shed a tear that day, I would be lying to you. So my biggest question is, I was completely surprised that it was just a dislocated ankle, but do you think Mr. Cam Scadaboo can overcome this injury and be that bulldozer truck that he once was before? Or do you think that this injury can really affect his game?
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your call. I don't think Cam Scadaboo is going to be emotionally affected by this. And by emotionally, I mean I don't have faith in myself. I don't believe in my body. Cam, I mean, the reason you love him is because of how crazy he is. Or at least he seems.
Right.
Or not even how he seems. How crazy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on
video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities. And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Crazy he plays. Like, he plays with this, like, fire and energy, and it's awesome, and it's uplifting for the team. But I also think that's just who he is. So even when he comes back from this injury and he's going to have some, obviously, atrophy on one of his legs, it's going to feel like I physically he's not the same guy. I don't think it's going to stop him from playing the way that he plays. You know what I mean? It's not like a concussion. Like, if this had been a massive concussion where he was knocked unconscious and, you know, he was it's dangerous, he's at the hospital and he's out for the season because of repeated head trauma, I'd worry about Cam Scadaboo going forward. This is a physical injury that can be repaired. And I don't think it's going to change his mind and his mentality at all.
I've already graduated to a positive out of the Scadaboo injury in my stages
which
of grief
here. He's not going to get beat up for a season.
Dude, you just said it. What was our main worry about Scadaboo the rest of the year?
Yeah.
He just keeps running his head through people. In a year where you're not going to the playoffs anyway, maybe we save some tread on Cam Scadaboo here, and he's fully bore when this team's ready to compete.
You're missing the real positive.
That guy was 430 pounds made me feel lighter. I can't shake it. How do you get yourself to 430? God bless him.
Are you picking on our last
caller? I'm not picking on
him. He's being honest about how emotionally he was in his own size.
I know.
Okay. No, the real positive is, have we forgotten how good Tyrone Tracy looked at times last year?
Yeah, but we haven't seen it yet this year.
And now the opportunity is right there in front of
him. I agree.
The opportunity
that was
is there.
My first thought. In real time, while watching the game, it's like, dude, this sucks. Cam is out. I mean, there goes whatever. It was like, all right, Tyrone, this is your spot.
Yeah, look,
right? you never were given it. You actually earned it last year.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's ever going to be this way unless you become an MVP candidate, Jonathan Taylor or Saquon Barkley, where it's clear cut, you're the number one. But that takes like multiple years of having great seasons when it's kind of just handed to you. He's going to have to earn it every single year, Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah.
And so go earn it. Take advantage
of
it.
It's right there in front of him.
The opportunity is right there, Aaron Boone.
Kevin is in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate you.
No problem.
And, Evan, congratulations to the London Jets for getting their first win this week.
Yes, we're all very proud of the London Jets. Mm-hmm. They got one on the board. Yay.
Got one on the board. Still tanking. So, I find myself always defending Loogie. He had a great idea. You guys bulldozed him. I think for the intentional walk situation.
What was his great idea that we bulldozed for anyone just tuning in? Because I've already forgotten.
Mm.
What was his great idea?
Yeah, he mentioned making a two base walk.
Right.
So I think that's valid. I think if you give up, I think there's some agreement that the throwing over to first rules have worked to speed up the game.
Yeah.
So what if you take the same idea and apply it to intentional walks and say, okay, if you give up a four pitch walk to a hitter, I don't care how you do it, the next time he's up, and if he or any time for the rest of the game, if that hitter walks, he gets two bases.
Right,
he gets a block.
Yeah, that's hard because it doesn't account for
crappy pitching.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't account for the
fact. I was trying to think of the right word. Incompetency, right? It doesn't count for guys not being able to find the strike zone when they're legitimately trying to find the strike
zone. Unintended consequences.
Right, the only thing that I could take from that I think is interesting is if you're getting hit like Shohei Ohtani was with consistent four intentional walk, the first time, fine, go to first base. The second time, you got to go to second. And every time after that, you start on second.
But again, it would just force teams to say, okay, we'll intentionally walk you.
But there's still a penalty. Like, not
the penalty is throwing four pitches?
It's throwing four pitches.
Right.
It is what it is.
I also look at last night. They walked him intentionally. I'm not talking about the unintentional, intentional walk.
Mm-hmm.
They walked him intentionally just about every time with one out and nobody on.
Yeah.
Would it have changed if he was going to second base? And I kind of think the answer is no. Like, as dangerous as Mookie Betts is.
One out with nobody on.
Yeah. Now, no outs and nobody out would be different because now you're putting yourself in the Manfred Mann spot.
Right. So
but with one out and nobody on, aren't you still doing it? You probably are.
Yeah, but with no outs and nobody, definitely with two outs and nobody on, you're intensely walking.
But in the case of last night, and I'll go back and look because unfortunately I did not score this game. I apologize. Yeah. This is why it's good if I do. Every scenario was one out, nobody on, which leads me to again tell you, I think they would have done it anyway.
But for what, in my plan, as Al Gore would say, is the third intentional walk, he's on third base. I'm serious.
I don't think you can give up three bases. I think it just has to stay. Put him in runners and put him in scoring position. Stay at two.
I think
first time, go to first. Every subsequent intentional walk, like the four finger, we're not even pitching to you, you go to second base.
I think the problem,
that's a good compromise.
The problem is the unintended consequences that come from this. Like, first of all, we all accept, how do you tell the difference between intentional and unintentional? So the natural idea that I don't even think you came up with, but you can take credit for it because I forget all the callers' names, of, hey, a four-pitch walk will count as an intentional walk. Mm. It's the unintended consequences of bad pitching that happens sometimes.
I don't think you can include that.
I don't think you can. But and then how do you know if something's intentional or not?
You can only include the intentional walk. And that happens as you get later in games because you have relievers who are used to throwing 30 pitches. And, all right, dude, intentionally walk him. But you're rolling up the pitch count.
But here's the real question, too, to get to the crux of the matter. And I was on the forefront. Like, I was fighting a war here.
Jeez.
I was on the forefront of the pitch
reading
clock.
Too much Revolutionary War drama.
It's mostly Civil War drama, but you're right. I was a big pitch clock guy for a decade. Like, I've been screaming and yelling. And a part of that is once I started DVRing games, it became so obvious how long and time there was between pitches. So for years, I'd come on with Joe and say, need a pitch clock. Big pitch clock guy. It has worked. I think it has improved the game. I think more people watch baseball today. The ratings are up because of a pitch clock.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Do you honestly think, here's the million-dollar question, more people would have watched last night's game if there was some cockamamie rules about, well, he may go to second base if we attack. Do you think there's more eyeballs on that game last night?
No.
Zero
I don't.
More.
I don't.
Thank you.
But I think the game maybe ends faster.
Maybe. But I don't think it's worth it. Like, I think at the end of the day, the pitch clock was worth it. I think at the end of the day, when Al Duke says on the warm-up show at 5 a.m., hey, guys, it'd be cool to not intentionally walk Shohei Ohtani. They should make a rule against it. Cool. And it's a fun sports talk radio topic that we've talked about at times on this radio station. Right. But at the end of the day, it isn't freaking needed. Gio went to sleep last night.
Yep.
Sean went to sleep last night. Would either of those guys watch the game if Ohtani couldn't be intentionally walked?
I don't think this is different.
What? My point is,
no, they're not watching it.
Would you have watched it?
No.
So then what the hell's the difference?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Everyone watching it is still watching it. It doesn't make a difference the way a pitch clock has clearly made a difference.
Hold on. If you had stayed to the eighth inning, and so Ohtani's already hit home run number one, he's already got two doubles, and you're at the eighth inning, and it's like, oh, man, the Blue Jays got the edge here. And Ohtani goes opposite field and ties the game. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, all right, this is interesting.
Are you shutting it off because they may walk him?
Now, if you now know that he's not going to win the game and they're going to walk him, and you can't walk him, I think you would watch it.
Well, you also don't know if there's going to be a situation where you can't walk him. What if he came up with bases loaded two outs?
True.
He didn't. No. So, my point to you is that this is actually going to make no difference in terms of eyeballs or interest in the game, so we're all just wasting our time.
It would have to be the perfect scenario that we saw last night.
Yes.
One out every time.
Or in the ninth inning when we're going to sleep, if we know that Ohtani has a chance to come up with a ghost runner at second, we're going to stick with it.
So now you want the ghost runner.
I'm going to duck and hide when I say this. I do think at some point last night there should have been a ghost.
No, absolutely. Now, you don't have to duck and hide.
I mean, to be honest.
I mean, how compromised are both these teams right now?
That's their problem.
And I think it affects the rest of the series with pitching. So
100%.
Look, I'm not saying put a ghost runner on in 10th, and I'm not trying to be a hot takey like that. But, you know, 13th, 14th inning, at some point.
You know why, honestly, with all due respect, I don't give a rat's ass about your opinion on this, but I care about Tommy's.
Because I went to sleep?
Yeah, you went to sleep.
But I wouldn't have.
Watch this. I hate your opinion. You're trash. Obviously, not as a human opinion was. Tommy, would you be cool with the ghost runner?
No, I don't want the ghost runner.
See? That's my guy right there.
Why?
Because he stayed up until 18th inning.
Why?
Because it's too gimmicky and it's a World Series game. For the regular season game, keep it pushing. There's 162 games. For this, with the chips in the middle, you can't have it. Now,
if a pitcher or a position player came in to pitch last night, we would have had a huge discourse here where I would have been not happy with that. And I would have said we may have to change the rules, carry an extra pitcher, do something. But if I'm going to stay up all night, I don't want a runner on second base. Now, let me push back on this. If you're a little kid, though, and you're with your father and you said, we're going to watch Shohei Ohtani, the greatest baseball player of all time, son. We're going to watch him tonight. And this little kid watches this guy friggin' walk every single time because the other team is so gutless they won't pitch him.
That's how good he is. That becomes the story.
Exactly.
It becomes the Barry Bonds.
Yep.
But that I don't think that's good for the game.
Walk him maybe he gets one pitch a game.
You're spot on, Tate.
So
no, I think you're right.
It becomes part of the legend.
It's exactly what I was explaining this morning to Jet because he didn't stay up. Okay. And I told him what was going on. And one of the things I said is they bonzed him. I said, they bonzed this guy. They wouldn't even face him.
They bonzed him after he went 4-for-4 with 2 home runs.
Exactly.
But could you imagine if they took the ball out of Jordan's hands, if they wouldn't allow Tiger Woods to putt?
That's a different sport.
But these are star players. These are generational players. You have to see them do what they do out there. If you take that away from them, to me, it's just not good for the game.
This has been going on for over 120 years.
Doesn't make it right, no.
I think Tiki nailed it. It adds to the legend.
Yeah.
Like, Barry Bonds has not played baseball in 20 years. Not quite 20 years, but close. When I talk about him, and I forget the steroids for a second. We all get what he did. Forget it for a second.
Who cares anymore?
When I talk about the legend of Barry Bonds, one of the first things I say to my kids is, the dude would get a pitch to hit a week.
Right.
That's how bad he was.
73 home runs.
He was a bad man. And I don't mean like an evil man. He was a bad mother bleeper. That guy would get one pitch to hit a week. He'd hit it 500 feet. The rest of the time, he'd spit on it and say, I'll take first base. That's a part of his legend.
Right.
Babe Ruth was intentionally walked like 30 times in 1927. He's a bad man. So I think it just adds to the legend. Anyhow.
I'd plunk him every time up tonight.
That's another idea.
Honestly, yes. Because Ohtani's on the mound tonight, so either he's going to respond and get off his game by plunking back, or...
Dude, can you imagine if we had a plunk fest?
Let's go!
You know what, Sean?
Get in his head tonight.
You've redeemed yourself. If I'm Shane Bieber who's pitching tonight...
Yeah.
By the way, if Justin Bieber shows up tonight, does him and Shane Bieber have a meeting?
I think they do.
Not Justin.
That's Shane's nickname, not Justin Bieber. I agree with you. I would drill Ohtani every time.
And I'm not talking about headhunt. I'm not looking to hurt the guy.
In the ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A tush push, if you will.
A tush push. Mm-hmm. Get him off his game, and that's it. And let him charge the mound. I dare him to.
That would be right cheek. So if he's a pitching.
Remember, his arm that's facing the pitcher is his throwing arm. Very dangerous. That's why Doc Gooden wasn't allowed to be a switch hitter for that very reason.
No rules apply when you're trying to win a championship.
That's I got you. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-101.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.